Welcome to installment 51 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments, beginning the laws of Yom Tov. Positive commandment 159, to rest on the first day of Pesach. Prohibition 323, not to work on the first day of Pesach. Positive commandment 160, to rest on the seventh of Pesach. And prohibition 324, the prohibition to do work on the seventh of Pesach. With today's portion, we begin the laws of Yom Tov from the Rambam. There are a total of 6 days the Rambam will be discussing, two of them in today's portion, the beginning of Pesach, the holiday at the beginning, and the holiday at the end of Pesach. Since he is now beginning a discussion of these laws in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives a general introduction as to how we know that there is a positive commandment not to do work on Yom Tov. There are two key phrases which teach us that there is a positive commandment not to rest on Yom Tov. One of them is the phrase Mikra Kadesh, literally translated as a holy assemblage. This is, however, interpreted by the Gemara. Kadesh, meaning holy, teaches us Kadshehu, that you must sanctify the day by refraining from work. The concept of Malacha, or work, as we're discussing here, is similar to that of Shabbos, which, as we discussed earlier in our discussion relating to Shabbos, that the prohibition is not to work, but rather to do any of those forms of creative activity which were singled out in the construction of the tabernacle in the desert, as we discussed at length over there. And so too over here, the idea is to rest from work from any of these activities which are prohibited. The verse, however, distinguishes between Yom Tov and Shabbos is in that in Shabbos all 39 acts of Malacha are prohibited, whereas here the verse says specifically that anything involved in the preparation of food is permitted on Yom Tov, as we will soon discuss in some more detail. The second source from which the Rambam derives that there is a positive requirement to rest on Yom Tov is the word Shabbosin. Shabbosin, the Rambam has quoted before the saying of our sages, that any time this word is used, it indicates that there is a positive commandment. And Shabbosin, to rest, is a commandment that you shall rest, you must rest, indicating that it is a positive commandment. And so to all of the holidays are referred to as Shabbos Hashem, the Shabbos and the resting days of God. And therefore, we again have another indication that there is a positive mitzvah requirement to rest on Yom Tov. And so too, the Rambam says many places in the Talmud say that Yom Tov, the holidays, have both a positive commandment and a prohibition associated with them. Meaning, the positive commandment is the rest. By refraining from work, one is fulfilling this positive requirement, a mitzvah's essay. And the prohibition not to do any of these acts is the prohibition, the leis essay, which the Talmud is referring to. Therefore, someone who would do an act of malacha on Yom Tov would be violating the prohibition and also nullifying this positive requirement of rest. The details of this discussion, as well as the details of the laws of Yom Tov, are discussed in what the Rambam terms as Masechta Yom Tov, the Tractate Yom Tov, which we refer to today as Masechta Beya. Now to get to the particulars of today's four commandments. All four commandments are packed into one single verse in the Chumash. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 12, verse 16, right at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, the verse says, Uvayim harishon mikra kadesh. On the first day there shall be a holy assembly. Uvayim hashvi mikra kadesh yelachem. And on the seventh day you should also have a holy assemblage to you. And you should not do any work on these days. And this is not even the entire verse, but nevertheless, from this part of the verse we can derive all four of today's commandments. Positive commandment 159 is the positive commandment to rest on the first day of Pesach. This is a statement, Uva Yom HaRishon Mikra Kadesh. The first day is a holy assembly. The positive commandment number 160, the commandment to rest on the seventh day of Pesach, is Vayom HaShvi Mikra Kadesh Yelachem. The seventh day should be a day of rest for you. And after giving both of these statements, the verse says, "Kol malacha la'yasa behem," you shall not do any work in them. And here we see that the same verse is evidently applying to both days, that it says bahem in them. Therefore, there is a prohibition not to do work in the first one of those days, in the first day of Pesach. This is prohibition 323. And also referring to the seventh day, which it immediately follows, that after saying you shall rest the seventh day, it says do not do work in either of them, obviously referring to both days. And therefore we have prohibition 324, the prohibition from doing any act of malacha on the seventh day of Pesach. Although these verses speak about the first day of Pesach and the seventh day of Pesach, today we keep 2 days for the beginning of Pesach and 2 days at the end of Pesach for Yom Tov. This applies everywhere except in the land of Israel. This difference derives from the fact that the Jewish holidays go after lunar months, and the appearance of the new moon is dependent upon when the moon appears, as will be discussed at greater length, God willing, in the laws of Kiddush HaChedesh, sanctifying the moon. As a result of the uncertainty as to which day the first day of the month is, and since Pesach, for example, is the 15th of the month, there would be difficulty in conveying this information outside the land of Israel where the new moon was declared. Therefore, for all of the holidays, except for Yom Kippur, outside the land of Israel we have 2 days for Yom Tov, rather than one. And the same prohibitions and the same positive commandment basically apply for both days. So therefore, when the verse here and the commandment here speaks about the first day of Pesach, it is referring to the first 2 days of Pesach. And so too about the seventh day of Pesach. In addition to Shvi Shel Pesach, the seventh, which is referred to here in the verse, we have an eighth day, Achron Shel Pesach, or the last day of Pesach, which also has an identical law in comparison with the seventh day. The second day is known as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, the second day of Yom Tov, which is observed in exile. Halachically, as we mentioned, it is identical to the first day, with two general exceptions. One involves a burial, which, although prohibited on the first day, can be done in certain ways on the second. And so, too, cases of refuah, cures, as medicine is prohibited on Yom Tov, just as on Shabbos in most cases. However, on the second day, we can be lenient on the second day. Although, as far as all other laws, its strictness is just the same as the first day Yom Tov, as far as refuah, or cures, taking medication, it is more lenient the second day. As we mentioned previously, there is a major difference between the law of resting on Yom Tov as compared with Shabbos, and it derives primarily from the same verse in which we derived all four of today's commandments. The end of that verse, after saying that one may not do any work, states, this which people eat, this is allowed to be done. And from this we learn the primary difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, that on Shabbos one may not do any of the 39 forms of work. However, on Yom Tov one is allowed to do that work which is necessary for the preparation of food. And therefore, whereas food must be cooked before Shabbos, food may be cooked on Yom Tov. However, there is much misunderstanding of this law of cooking food on Yom Tov. When the Torah says that one may do those acts of work which are necessary for the preparation of food, it doesn't mean, obviously, that if one is lacking food, one can get in a car and drive to the store and buy it. The Torah allows certain types of activity which are normally associated with the preparation of food. Other acts which are not normally done in the preparation of food, although now you are doing them to make food, nevertheless are prohibited. Furthermore, even some acts normally done for food, which you are now doing for food, are sages prohibited for fear that a person would do them as a preparation for the weekdays, in as they are things involving large amounts of food, and therefore on Yom Tov, when a person cannot work, do their regular acts of work, then we are afraid that the person would perhaps engage and save up these acts in order to do them on Yom Tov. We will now give some simple examples of things which are prohibited on Yom Tov, although they involve food. In all of the following acts, Yom Tov is identical with Shabbos as far as they are concerned. Making food into a form, into a shape, or a picture is prohibited. And so too, just as on Shabbos, one is prohibited from eating or cutting through letters in a food, the same thing as for Yom Tov. So too, making exact measurements, using a measuring cup to exactly measure out the food is prohibited. Opening a refrigerator or closing it, or opening a container, a can, or a certain sorts of plastic and paper containers, the law is identical between Yom Tov and Shabbos. And so too, squeezing lemons is identical between Yom Tov and Shabbos, that the lemon could only be squeezed on a solid food, and not into a liquid, and certainly not into a glass. Grinding food and chopping it very fine pieces is also prohibited unless done in a different manner than usual. And again, unless it is chopped right before the meal, when it is permitted normally on Shabbos. As far as cooking, although one is allowed to cook, and one is even allowed to raise a flame in order to speed up the cooking process, one is first of all prohibited from originally initiating a fire. One cannot make a new fire on Yom Tov, and therefore one could not strike a match. And so too, although the turning up the fire would be allowed, turning down the fire is prohibited, since this is unnecessary for the preparation of the food. In tomorrow's shiur, since we will also be discussing the laws of Yom Tov, we will discuss those limitations on those acts of work which are allowed to be performed on Yom Tov, and what limitations are placed upon them. Certainly those things which are unrelated to food are prohibited on Yom Tov, and therefore the law of putting on makeup, which is certainly putting on makeup is prohibited on Shabbos, the same thing applies to Yom Tov as well, that it is prohibited. The first day of Pesach is singled out by our sages in a number of ways. This is the day, the Medrash says, that Yitzchak called Esav in order to give him the blessing. And it is said that he perceived that there was a great song, singing, a tremendous praise of God going on in the heavens. That even though the Torah had not yet been given, Yitzchak was able to perceive the tremendous revelation and the tremendous difference in heavenly spheres which was going on this day. And this is one of the explanations about why he asked Esav to bring him goats in order to correspond to the Pesach offering, since he saw this being offered, so to speak, in a spiritual sense above. Our sages say this was also the day in which Pharaoh took Sarah after Avram and Sarah went down to Egypt. And Avram said that Sarah was his sister to avoid being killed. Sarah was taken into the house of Pharaoh, and he wanted to take her for a wife. And then Pharaoh was stricken, and all of his servants were stricken with terrible plagues. And this was a foretaste of what would happen to them later on when all the Jewish people were in Egypt. Our sages say that it was in the month of Nisan that we were redeemed, and in the month of Nisan we will be redeemed in the future in the days of Mashiach. And the Yalkut Shimoni says that this particularly applies to the night of Pesach, that on the night of Pesach, the first night, this is when we were redeemed from Egypt. And in the future we will also be redeemed then. And the last night of Pesach, the last days, Achron Shel Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach, are also closely associated with the Messianic deliverance, as is indicated in the Haftorah on that day. And may it speedily be so that in Pesach, just as our forefathers were delivered from their exile, so too we should be with a speedy arrival of Mashiach. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.